Jacques Celier is the founder of the Institute of Security Studies, and he wrote a book in 2017. We spoke to him at the time, that's 7 years ago, and then we updated it 18 months ago, and my goodness, it is almost like telling the future, forecasting what was going to happen. There are a few little adjustments that Jacques would be able to tell us about. If you haven't read this book, it's really worth getting. There it is, Fate of the Nation. Three scenarios. We'll find out what scenario we're on now as South Africans are so confused about what happens next. Jacques, I know you are abroad. Thanks for finding the time to talk with us today. I've just got to refer you back to the opening page of Fate of the Nation, where you write, you say that South Africa is always at 5 to 12. Or has been for many decades, perhaps even for centuries. We're hitting this 5 minutes to midnight, 5 minutes to disaster, and yet somehow we always seem to get around it. But after hearing what's been happening amongst the politicians in the last week, it does feel like we now really are getting to this 5 minutes to midnight. And this time round, we could have that binary decision that you spoke about. The last time we chatted 18 months ago, that could be taking the country to a very, very turbulent period. Let's start with the election. You did forecast the ANC would be below 50%. You were looking at, sure, when we spoke years ago, you were saying 45, 46, 47% in this election. But you did think that they would be able to cobble together a coalition and retain power until 2029, where the inevitable would happen. They'd be ejected. But this time round, they've done even worse than those projections that you brought out, which at the time many people thought were crazy. So you've been on the money. In fact, perhaps not as aggressive as you might have been had you written about it 18 months or 2 years later. So this result, first of all, did it come as a surprise to you?
Hi, Alec. Great to talk to you. Yes, it did. And the great surprise, of course, is Jacob Zuma and the MK party, which is the biggest gift that the opposition parties, in a sense, could hope for. Bear in mind that with every election, what has happened, it's not really the opposition parties that have grown. What has happened is that the ANC have lost support and people are not voting. So you've had, with the establishment of COPE, the EFF, now MK, you see the ANC coming down steadily, and the strength of the support that MK got is a surprise. I don't think, a few analysts did get it right, as the results of opinion polls the last few weeks came to the fore. But the question, of course, is where is MK going to go? Because you now have a situation where you have the ANC, in a sense, located centrally. To the right of it is the DA with 21%. To the left of it is MK/EFF with a marginally less. So an interesting conundrum that has presented the politicians, particularly President Ramaphosa, with a real challenge to come to any kind of solution that holds at a national and at a provincial level. And when we speak provincially, Alec, you know this better than I, you're basically talking about the problem in Gauteng and you're talking about the problem in KwaZulu-Natal. Because you can build different coalitions in Gauteng and you need different partners in KwaZulu-Natal. And I previously wrote this is kind of a trade-off between stability and growth. And the problem is that you need all the parties in the so-called government of national unity. And that means that parties that have really ideological opposition to one another, like the DA, the EFF, MK, need to be part of one coalition at national level. And what does that mean for the provinces? And the problem with KwaZulu-Natal is that you have MK, which is a very new party, which is not structured and organized, and which has previously said it doesn't believe in the constitution, And how is all of that going to come together? Very difficult, I think, decisions that face Ramaphosa.
But perhaps we could look at it from a different perspective, and that is the one that was provided by R.W. Johnson this morning and supported by Dave Stewart, who was intimately involved in the last government of national unity, where both of them say it's not going to work because they are two ideologically opposed positions, even if the MK don't come, with the EFF and the Democratic Alliance. And indeed, that the ANC is, in the opinion of both, still trying to hold on to power by being the playmaker and putting all of this together. So if the DA doesn't come into the government of national unity, which is what R.W. Johnson said it won't do, he says it's impossible for it to do, actually, what happens then?
That is exactly the challenge that I think we face. So we are now deep into coalition country. When I wrote to a Fate of the Nation in 2017, I thought we would only get to that point in 2029, which is why I started the discussion off by making the point that Jacob Zuma provided a gift to the opposition parties. But the nature of the divisions that we have now are such that if you want to create a government at national level that can govern, is you need parties that are diametrically opposed to one another. And you can invite them, but they may decide to sit this out. The DA in particular, which has emphatically on a number of occasions said it won't work with the EFF and by implication with MK. What happens then? It is possible that this scenario could face us, I didn't listen to your interview this morning, with elections down the line. But in the meanwhile, South Africa is really going to bumble along. So we are very deep into the scenario that at that point I was saying, Bafana, Bafana, bumbling along scenario, because you're not going to find decisive action. And let's face it, there's very little that MK or the EFF can bring to the table in terms of unlocking growth. And as Anne Bernstein and others have said repeatedly, what South Africa needs is growth. Without growth, nothing is possible, economic growth. And that requires investor confidence. It requires business confidence inside South Africa. And EFF, MK are certainly not going to provide that.
It's quite extraordinary when you reflect on this for a moment. You've had negative GDP per capita. In other words, people in South Africa have been getting poorer for the last 10 years. Young people have been, as a result, they've been coming out of school and there have been less and less jobs for them. And you've got laws that surely to them must appear to be a bit of a collusion between big government, big labor, big business that stop them from coming into the job market. They can't get apprenticeships because on the one hand, there's minimum pay levels. On the other hand, there's labor legislation that no sane businessman is going to hire anybody if they can't fire them. So you've got these two very serious obstacles, which the DA has waved at, the IMF has waved at. Everybody, it seems, outside of the ANC and the socialist parties in South Africa can see the obvious issue there. And yet, if the DA were to come into this government of national unity, that's got to be one of its not negotiables that doesn't seem like the other side is ready to accept yet. So it does appear as though there's a bit of a Gordian knot here, which is based on education.
Well, it's politics, and the positions that we have painted ourselves in and the opposition to the various ideological positions within these various camps, let's say within the DA and within the ANC, ANC, MK, EFF, which are offshoots of the ANC, DA, which comes to the party from a different ideological. These positions present us with real challenges. The bottom line is that a coalition, the kind of government of national unity that President Ramaphosa spoke about, which, well, it's not a government of, it's going to include a number, it, if it works, it's going to include a number of parties above a certain threshold. But ideologically, it's very difficult to see that working, which is why perhaps the suggestion that was made at some point that the DA is provided the opposition position in parliament, control of various oversight committees, that may be where we end up. If that doesn't work, because I doubt if the DA could become part of a government that doesn't have, if it's not provided with a certain degree of executive power, because as you correctly point out, there are a number of government positions that are so inimical to economic growth, and the issue of cadre deployment, black economic employment, and so on and so forth, which are really like a wet blanket over growth. And the DA will undermine its own legitimacy and support if it enters that. But I think the ideological divisions that we've seen are so stark. But of course, that's what coalition politics is about. It is painful decisions that have to be taken. And I think that's more or less where we are.
Are there any precedents anywhere in the world for a party with the ideological position of a DA coalescing with a party with the ideological position of the EFF, given that they would both presumably, that's Ramaphosa, wants them both in this government of national unity that he talks of?
Look, I've been part of a number of delegations that have traveled to Europe to go and look at coalition agreements. And I think the big difference is it's not only the ideological divide. And our ideological divide is wider than most, given our history and so on. It is also the number of parties that want to be part of this. So normally, and if you look at Denmark and Germany and other Sweden, there are three parties, maybe four, and a stretch that you bring in to create a government of national unity, that you bring in to create a coalition government, and that provides you with stability. Now, even in the problem is we have, you know, four or five parties, perhaps six, that you want to bring into the so-called government of national unity. Very, very difficult. The logical partner from just a statistical point of view is the ANC and the DA. But that does not give you a majority in KwaZulu-Natal, which is why I think eventually once the ANC looked at those numbers it looked at the potential for instability and ungovernability in KwaZulu-Natal, which I think is an overestimation, I should add, and said, well, we need to bring the MK and the EFF in. And this is the quandary that I think that we face. So even if you can cobble some type of a government of national unity together, the infighting and the challenges that will happen are going to be intense. So we are in a difficult situation. It's not impossible that this situation could eventually lead to new elections, but to think that we are going to manage this process for the next 5 years, I think it's going to be very, very difficult.
So getting back to Fate of the Nation, to those three scenarios of yours, you've mentioned the Bafana-Bafana scenario, but that is the one that we've been carrying on with for the last 10 years. We bumble along, we get poorer as a nation, continuously social unrest potential has to be growing when there are more and more people unemployed. If that continues, is there not a breaking point at some stage where everything just kind of falls apart?
No, I think that what we need is a political tipping point. We're almost there. And I had a third scenario, which was nation divided. And that basically was that where you had a serious split within the ANC. And we are very close to that situation. And in that scenario, which I wrote in 2017, Ramaphosa emerges as the leader of a new coalition, a sort of a centrist coalition, but not as leader of the ANC. Now, we may be heading there. We may head to a situation where there could be an additional split within the ANC. And if that happens, then Ramaphosa could step out with what is left of the ANC or a new grouping of former ANC people and then enter into an alliance with the DA, the IFP, and others and create a governing alliance. And I think we are in a situation where these kind of scenarios now become potentially realistic. That was called nation divided. And over time, given the challenges, that actually emerges as quite a positive scenario because you, instead of waiting until 2029, when on previous trends things would change, what has now happened is that that point of change has been brought forward. The question that we all need to ask ourselves is what happens in KwaZulu-Natal? Gauteng would be able to put together, I think, a governing coalition, a pro-growth governing coalition. down the line. And Gauteng is the economic heart of South Africa. But it depends on your analysis of the extent to which MK, to perhaps to a lesser degree, the EFF, can play a destabilizing, physically insecurity role in KwaZulu-Natal. And I think there, you know, there is a tendency to look back at what happened in July of 2021 and think that MK can destroy the province. I'm using a sort of inappropriate language. And I think that's a mistake. What happened in July of 2021 is that there were a number of instigators, but the extent of social tension and lack of police and collaboration between the police and the military and delays led to a situation that spun out of control. I think today we're in a different situation. Everybody is very concerned. So all that I'm saying is let's not overestimate the potential destabilizing effect of the MK party. It's a loose organization of ANC discontents who are largely from KwaZulu-Natal. But remember that the opposition, the fight for, let's call it the Zulu Nation, is an actual fact. The IFP represents Zulu nationalism to a much greater extent than does MK. So to what extent does MK have the potential really to destabilize KwaZulu-Natal? I think one must not overestimate that. But the problem that we all face is that the province of KwaZulu-Natal could end up with real challenges going forward. And maybe at the end of the day, that's where the challenge is going to come, to find the balance between stability and growth.
What a situation. What should we be looking out for? What are the warning signs for international investors, or perhaps the opportunities for local investors? Again, in your book, I was reading through it again. At that point, 2017, there was 1.3 trillion rand in cash on company balance sheets. That's way above 1.5 trillion now. It's just waiting to be invested in South Africa, but it seems like we do all the wrong things and we don't let that money come in. That's just from locals, let alone international investors. What would be a positive signal? And on the other hand, what would make those investors even more skittish?
Well, there's no doubt that in political terms, the DA provides the face of potential investor confidence in South Africa, also domestically. Absolutely no doubt. So if you could find a coalition where the DA and the ANC can get together and provide a growth future for South Africa. Anne Bernstein, again, presented a host, and there have been any number of books and publications that have been written. We know what needs to be done. The problem is that the ANC, firstly, doesn't believe in that, and secondly, when it takes action extremely slowly, and it's almost impossible to see any real movement. As the ANC is engaged in internal coalition building within itself. Now, perhaps what has happened is that to a degree, you've got a bit of a purified ANC in the sense that some of its radical elements have spun off and joined MK. So perhaps that provides the basis for the normalization of South African politics, that the ANC stops trying to be the broad church that it has been. And that it has to choose an ideological roadmap along which it goes. And if you want to grow South Africa, our growth happens in urban areas. And the trend with ANC support in urban areas is clear. It's declining. And at the time, the main message of Fate of the Nation was that the ANC faces a declining future. And the big challenge that Ramaphosa has is to modernize the ANC. And that can only happen if you step away from the alliance that was established after 1990 between the traditionalist factions, particularly in the former homelands, which also brought all the corruption into the ANC. And there's been a tremendous amount of very interesting work that shows the extent to which the so-called former homeland parties that became part of the ANC really brought all the corruption and all of those problems into the ANC. So for a leader who wants to take his party into the future and wants to retain power, does Ramaphosa have the leadership skills and the intent to shift the focus of the ANC to benefit from the urban black vote? Because what is happening is that nobody is, no opposition party, neither the DA or the EFF or MK, have been able to capture the black urban vote, which is staying away, which is not voting. And what South Africa needs is we need a South Africa party, a party that stands, that brings South Africans together into the future. Now, many of us were hoping that Bosa or Rais Mzanzi would provide the basis for that. And perhaps they can. But we need to mobilize the stay-away vote in urban South Africa if we are going to build a future. And the next thing we need to do is we need to step away from race. Difficult as that may be, you cannot build a country where you base your future, which is of a prosperous, united, non-racial, democratic South Africa, with a policies that are based on race. That doesn't mean you must not provide opportunity to rebalance the differences in opportunity in South Africa. Of course, you must do that. But as you yourself have pointed out very often, you need to move to a situation where you provide a vehicle where international investors don't feel that their investment in the country is going to be squandered through various get-rich schemes under the mantle of black economic empowerment. We have to find a different way. And the way to do that is through education, entrepreneurship, from the bottom upward, provide an opportunity economy, not to try to do it from the top down by trying to create rich entrepreneurs that are handed opportunity and don't have the skills to be able to manage it.
Lovely talking with you again, Jackie. Thank you for your insights in this very, very treacherous period that South Africa is going through. I would recommend to anybody, if they want to understand where we are, it's all been written in Fate of the Nation. You can get the proper background to it. There's unfortunately just so much hot air that is being spoken about nowadays. Everyone has an opinion, not often based on fact. Jackie Celia is the founder of the Institute for Security Studies. I'm Alec Hogg of BizNews.com.